Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
Milk in schools, that was always a given, right? Didn't have to really worry about that. Well, now it's complicated and challenging in some cases. And here to talk about it is the Vice President of Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation, Paul Blyberg. Paul, it's not a given. It's not as simple as it used to be. We have the debate over flavored milk and whether it should be allowed in schools or not. So it's kind of become complicated. There is some legislation proposed here. I know you're supporting. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on again, Mike. And yes, yesterday we had some legislation introduced in the House of Representatives on a bipartisan basis called the School Milk Nutrition Act of 2019. And this legislation was introduced by two members of Congress on the House Education and Labor Committee, which has jurisdiction over child nutrition programs and milk and nutrition standards and things like that. And the bill quite simply codifies into law current options that students have in the lunch line, which include low-fat and fat-free milks, but in particular low-fat flavored milk and 1% flavored milk, as you said. And we think this is a very important measure to build on the successful rulemaking from last fall that reinstated 1% flavored milk into schools, but essentially to codify it into law so that we have certainty and don't have to worry about it being reversed in the future.
So this bill would permit individual school districts to determine on their own which milk varieties to offer their students, right?
That's absolutely correct, and we think this is really important because there was a widely recognized decline in the amount of milk that kids were drinking in school, and it coincided with a 2012 regulatory change that actually at the time barred low-fat flavored milk from school lunches and breakfasts and other school food options, and a number of different studies found as high as a 7% drop in the amount of milk that kids were drinking in school between the 2011-2012 school year and the 2015-2016 school year, and USDA's Food and Nutrition Service has also indicated that milk consumption has declined over the years. So this is an important bill to make sure that we don't have a decline like that again, that we don't lose a generation of milk drinkers. And I think everybody listening on the phone knows that dairy products play a huge role in kids' diets. It's a huge source of different nutrients. Calcium, potassium, vitamin D are all found in milk and provides other health benefits as well. And we want to make sure that we're going to be offering milk in schools that kids will drink. And that's where the flavor issue really comes in.
Well, we had this debate, and obviously there was a concern over childhood obesity and the sugar levels in flavored milk. But when you're talking about a 1% flavored milk, and if that helps get kids to drink milk when otherwise they might not, and if they don't, then they lose all these other health benefits. I mean, it just made sense to allow the 1% flavored milk.
And it does to us, too, and we point out that 1% flavored milk typically contains less sugar, actually, than the cap for sugar in milk that's recommended by the National Academy of Science. And not only that, we did a survey of over 300 schools that offered flavored milk in the 2017 and 2018 school year. They were able to do that on account of some kind of limited waivers. And the survey that was conducted found that of those over 300 schools, 82% of them found that it was easy or very easy to accommodate 1% flavored milk in their calorie cap. And you look at the math, most flavored milk offered in schools falls well below the recommendation that you get, 10% of your total calories in a day from added sugar. So we think the science and the numbers are very much on our side here.
Of course, another thing that has changed, the drink options that are available to students now in schools, there's more out there, right?
That's absolutely true, and we want to make sure that kids continue to have milk as an option in the lunch line, but as I said earlier, an option that we know they're going to consume.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this legislation that has been introduced, is there good support for it, bipartisan support?
Yes, actually, the bill was introduced yesterday. It had over 25 bipartisan co-sponsors, many members in both parties, including multiple members in both parties who actually also serve on the Education and Labor Committee. The two lead sponsors were Congressman Joe Courtney from Connecticut on the Democratic side and Congressman G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania on the Republican side. They are both senior members of that committee, and a number of their colleagues on and off the committee have joined them, and we expect that many more will in the coming weeks as well. And that's a very important signifier for us, because in this two-year Congress that we're in right now, there's an expectation that the child nutrition programs will be reauthorized, and that may give us an opportunity to take the language of this bill and try to get it included in that broader reauthorization.
Well, you can't take anything for granted in Congress these days. So you're optimistic about it passing?
Well, I think we're hopeful that if a child nutrition bill moves forward, that we have an opportunity to make some progress here. It's hard to know exactly whether or not the broader legislation will move forward. To your point, not a lot is moving right now, but I think if a bill moves forward, we'll be pushing very hard to get this included in that larger bill.
I would think the fact that you still are letting local school districts have a say in this, that makes it even more appealing, I would think.
I think it does, too. And the other thing that makes it appealing to a lot of folks is that low-fat flavored milk is consistent with the current dietary guidelines. And the other provision of the legislation actually restates current law in that milk varieties offered in schools must be consistent with the most recent dietary guidelines. And obviously, there's a lot of emerging science out there about higher-fat varieties and the benefits of higher-fat varieties of dairy and possibly delinking the idea that, you know, higher-fat dairy is connected to cardiovascular disease. And we're very supportive of moving further in that direction, obviously. But the dietary guidelines are being rewritten as we speak for 2020, since they're done on an every five-year basis, and so we may have an opportunity to move forward there. But at a minimum, the proposal that's put forward right now on 1% flavored milk is fully in alignment with the existing dietary guidelines already.
And the numbers don't lie. The flavored milk is popular with the kids. It gets them to drink milk.
It absolutely does.
All right. Paul, thank you for the update, and we'll be watching this closely. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Paul Bleiberg, he is Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation.